Jack Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack and Jill Show. It's here where we provide entertaining real estate investment advice. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting this week still from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about why it's really a good idea to add houses to your flipping land portfolio business. And what's the real harm in having multiple income sources anyway?
Oh, no. It just makes an accounting thing. No, it's too hard to track.
I only want one income source.
Have something kind of running in the background? No. That just gets confusing. Then I got to get my tax guy. We got to talk that much longer. That's not good. Maybe we have to have multiple checking accounts. Well, that could be a pain.
I interviewed somebody a really long time ago in the beginning of the show, at the beginning of when we started podcasting. It was even before you were actually like my co-host.
Oh.
And he said, I have 114 revenue sources.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had to pick my jaw up off the desk and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I have... We're kind of getting into the show, actually, but he said, I have 42 rental houses. I have an apartment building. I just wrote my 13th book. The first one is still making money. And on and on. It got me thinking. I'm like, geez, this guy never sleeps. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by add another thing to your business.
I like that.
Before we
I was going to say, I thought one was going to be like Coke. I have 92 peanut machines spread out across the valley. Remember those you put a quarter in? Maybe.
Vending machine route.
You know what? Wait.
Those are still big businesses.
I can have 100 of those, and I can also say I have 100 different lines of revenue, and I just have 100 different machines.
Yeah. And you would say that, Jill.
I would.
And I would say, well, that's one line of business.
I want to do that. I want to do that at a party. I have 105 different lines of business.
Jill,
100 of them are peanut machines.
Jill saves her best stuff for parties.
Spread out throughout Southern California.
When you're standing around with a cocktail in your hand with Jill, you learn stuff about
her. Oh, no.
I learned the most about Jill in that environment.
Oh, no.
Like, if you listened to our show yesterday.
Oh, no.
That's when she turns her personality on.
Uh-oh. No.
Hey, before we get into the real meat of the show here, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Ryan P. asks, hi all. I have 6 acres just south of Austin, off 183, 1 mile from downtown. I got the property through a blind offer mailer.
That's what we do here.
Yep. I offered $12,000 for 6 acres and they accepted.
Okay, so hold on. $12,000 for 6 acres, 1 mile south of Austin. Let that sink in for a second. That's what we do here. Go ahead.
Deep thoughts by Jack Butella.
Just do the math on
it. I know.
What is this guy going to make on this stuff?
I knew. This is awesome. The property is zoned SF3 residential, but doesn't have physical road access and is also in the 100-year floodplain, 1 inch off the base level required. Does anyone have a good contact that might be able to help in discussing development options, trying to assess the best path forward?
This is a perfect example of what this community is all about.
Totally.
And, I mean, I had a producer put this question in because it is just, I'm still floored. Like, what do you think that's worth?
Mm-hmm.
So the floodplain issue, 100-year floodplains, sometimes assessors and subdividers and city planners take a look at what's been in this floodplain over the long, many, many years ago, and very, very frequently when it gets rezoned for development, they remove that because the old school stuff is different. There's new technology. I don't need to explain that. And so, as far as road access, the vast majority of the property that has legal access doesn't have road access. So in my opinion here, this guy's got a diamond in the rough. It just needs to be cleaned up, processed, and sold.
Love
6 acres, man.
I know.
Austin.
Talk about
Austin
gorgeous.
Is like one of the constantly the top 10 highest growth cities in the country. So I think you hit it, Ryan.
Would you recommend even he cut it up into like 5 1-acre, 6 1-acre property? Get to the map.
I would recommend that he sells it to the person who's going to do that. So if he's going to pay $12,000 for these 6 acres and probably sell it for, I don't know, 100, It's probably worth way, way, way more, but that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm. And let them do it.
Yeah.
Just needs to properly get it out there.
He needs to get in front of the right person. Yep. But what he needs to do is run to the bank, actually.
Yeah.
And buy the property.
That's awesome.
Or tie it up.
Exactly. Today's topic, add houses to your land business. This is the meat of the show. Take it away, Jack.
Yeah, so, you know, like we were saying earlier, it's such a logical progression. So what Jill and I, what I'm really surprised about in our whole land business is how our actual land buying customers, the retail and the wholesalers, they create the next company for us. Mm-hmm. So Jill and I could sit around and say, great, we have this land flipping business. What do you say? We go start a retail department store.
Oh my gosh.
Why the heck would we do that?
That's hilarious. I'm going to sell t-shirts next.
When what's really happening is our actual customers are telling us what they want. So they're, mm-hmm. you know, that's how we started Land Academy. Our customers are saying, my gosh, you know, I bought 14 properties from you guys already in the last 3 months. It seems that you have an endless supply of these properties. Mm-hmm. What's the trick? Let me in on it, you know?
Right.
And so that was our next business, to kind of, after 25 or 30 people or more said, please let me know. Please show me how you're doing this. I'm happy to pay you. Mm-hmm. I want to go do it myself. My first reaction was, well, I'm not going to let you in on the secret. So that became our next business, and then and just logically became our next income stream. And then Jill and I bought a bunch of rental houses. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And then we cleaned them up and actually ended up reselling them because we didn't want to deal with the tenants and stuff.
Right.
And all the management issues. There's just as many issues. If you own rental properties and you have a management company, there's just as many management problems with actually managing the management company as there are managing a tenant. So it just became, after a while, very logical for us to start flipping houses. Mm-hmm. We were doing it anyway. We were just not happy as landlords.
Right.
Now we kill it. I mean, it's probably, I don't know if we make more, but we make as much by flipping houses. So my point is, if you've got to start with one successful revenue stream, whatever it ends up being, hopefully it's land, if you're listening to this, flipping land or selling land on terms, and then, you know, adding something to it, don't you think?
Well, here's what I thought was interesting is how many people that are in our community that started doing houses, like they got all into it. It was all romantic. It's all HGTV. And, oh, I want to do this with my wife. And this is going to be so cute. They go, oh my gosh, this is a disaster, right? But they know there's money to be made there. So they've stopped that, and they come to us going, all right. And then they get into our community and they're like, all right, this flipping land thing, I got this. But what it did was teach them how to go back. No, it's really good. How to go back and do what they started out, doing it a different way and the right way. They're like, oh, now I got it. You know, and the majority of them that I work with, they never want to go back into the actual swinging the hammer thing and picking out the wood on the floors and all that stuff. They're like, no, I'm not doing that, man. But they still have friends there who are doing that. They know the community, and they're now, you know, finding the deals for them, and, you know, everybody wins.
Right.
And it's really, really good.
I agree with you. I've spoken with many, many members, and they say, well, you know, when you watch an HGTV program and somebody's mm-hmm. cleaning up a house and then they sell it, what you're really saying to yourself is, oh, man, I could do that better. Mm-hmm. Those guys can do it. I can do it. Mm-hmm. And then my suggestion is, if you're into that, and Jill and I fell into it once or twice, go be an interior designer. That's really what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at doing a real estate acquisition.
Yeah, it's much easier spending somebody else's money than it is spending yours.
But my point is, you're not attracted to the deal making portion of that. You're attracted to choosing wallpaper, dealing with a contractor, and you know, it's not a time schedule thing or any of that. You just love kitchen cabinets and stuff.
Well, you know what's interesting about that though, Jack? I saw it from both ways. I did have fun picking out the color scheme and the chandelier for the bathroom and all that good stuff. But I also saw the value in it going, all right, this bathroom that I just remodeled, I know the ROI it's going to bring back. Slash, however, at the end of the day, when I added it all up, I still, the time and energy input, I didn't make as much as, you know, just flipping it and walking away.
Here's how you make money in real estate.
That's what did it for me.
And here's the whole takeaway from this. Here's how you make money. If you buy, you create equity when you buy it. You've heard the whole saying. You make money when you buy it, not when you sell it.
Right.
So, let's say you do everything right. You send out a bunch of letters and, you're sitting and staring at one that came back, that's signed, for a house that's $145,000, and you know when it's all cleaned up, you can sell it for $250,000. Well, cleaning it up is going to cost a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it all goes right. After you clean it up, it's $20,000. Or you could just sell it for $165,000 to somebody who is going to clean it up, and you're done and you're on to the next deal.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're not picking any wall. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jill. We're not picking out wallpaper. We're not moving any walls.
No, I'm over it. No, it's totally fine. Don't think. No, don't worry me. No apology needed. Seriously.
That's how I look at the world.
If I want to upgrade my chandelier in the bathroom, I can just go buy one.
Right.
Thank you.
Adding another income stream to your business, whatever it is, no matter how small it is almost always a good idea. Yeah. Diversification of revenue streams is fantastic. If you have a convenience mm-hmm. store and you're doing really well on the chewing gum rack, add another one.
Mm-hmm. Buy another peanut machine. We have one.
Let's talk about this vending route thing. Would you like to, if you go onto these business sites where you buy and sell businesses, you can buy a vending route really quickly.
Isn't that funny?
It's not expensive.
I wouldn't do that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for saying that.
No, I wouldn't do that. That was just kind of being funny. No. Nope. Sorry. No, what I would do is, remember the girl that we met that did the whole parking lot thing? Buying the piece of dirt, paving it, making a downtown parking lot?
Explain it to us.
That's brilliant.
A great business model.
Yeah. That girl that we met her here in LA at an investor group thing, and she just kind of fell into it because her family has a construction business and they can do paving. And so she was working somewhere finding these, you know, properties. I don't remember who she was working for, some developer or something. And she was figuring out the fact that, wait a minute, how much these parking lot places make, what you can charge a day and an hour and all that good stuff. And so her whole point was finding these, you know, infill lots, basically paving them. And then she was even taking it a step further and found someone that could help her with the latest and greatest pavement keeps the coolest and lasts, you know, 10 years longer than everything else and all that good stuff. So she was working on getting parking lots, basically popping up around LA. I'm like, that's brilliant. That
yeah,
makes
she was
sense.
Taking, from a data's perspective, for our listeners, she was taking houses, existing used houses that are that are zoned for or potentially zoned for commercial use on a large throughway, on a large street. You could purchase it for its house value, bulldoze it, and make it a parking lot.
Mm-hmm. And make good money.
Or some alternative use. And she was like 22 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like,
talk about low maintenance and everything was awesome.
The girl?
No. No, the girl was high maintenance. the property low maintenance. That's a very good question. That's a very good question, Jack. Thank you.
I'm always impressed by it. Really.
Did you look at her? She's high maintenance.
I try not to look at her.
Oh, yeah.
I try not to retain her name. I just wanted to, it's the concept I was after.
Oh, yeah. I had high maintenance. Oh, you know, we should do that. We should walk down the street and I'll go high, low, high, low, 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 high, high, high.
Sweetheart.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Men do that all every day
in
their life.
I know. I'm going to do that out loud. Next time you and I are riding on the Strand later, I'm going to say we're going to do a little hour or so of pick out high and low maintenance. That would be hilarious. It's kind of like how I used to pick out yoga pants. Like, really? Yoga pants. Everybody's wearing yoga pants. That was a Scottsdale thing. It's not here. Thank goodness.
I don't know if it's not here. I think it's here.
Well, maybe not as bad. I don't know.
That's a topic for yoga pants are a whole different topic.
Thank you.
Show. I have so many questions about yoga pants.
Thank you.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another 30 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss money well spent.
And answer your questions should you have one. Post it on jackjill.com, our online community.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. All right, so this yoga pants thing.
Oh my gosh, I'm so over the yoga pants. It was so nice when I Man, just walking around here. You know, how about this? When I see yoga pants here, I see people out exercising, wearing them as they are meant to be worn, more than every single woman in the mall and the grocery store and every time they drop off and pick up their kids.
It's not so much yoga pants
that
are
live in them. That's all they own. Yes.
So it's the willingness and the laziness for people, and this is not gender specific, people to, without thinking, just jump onto the bandwagon.
Oh.
So, you know, everybody's wearing them, so I'm going to wear them.
Oh.
Because I have the exact opposite. If everybody's doing it, I'm going to go the other way.
Oh.
Which is probably just as equally unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Just kidding.
But jumping on the bandwagon for anything, even investing. Oh, everybody's buying houses now because interest rates are low and money's really available.
I get it.
Or here's a mortgage example. If you read on the internet about from a lender who's written, you should always buy. I'm not advocating this. I'm regurgitating some really bad advice.
Okay.
You should always buy as much house as you can afford.
Oh, that's awful.
What they mean is the payment. So they want you to have the lowest down payment and the highest payment based on your paycheck. And that's that is exactly how to file bankruptcy.
Exactly.
Like 8 years later.
Right. I'm with
you. That's how I see yoga pants.
Oh, that's very interesting. All right, I got it. I was thinking about you going, you know, bucking the system and going against the system, which, you know what, the whole point of it is just be true to yourself. Do whatever you want to do.
That's my point. We're making the exact same point.
If you know what you look good and you know what you don't look good in, and for a lot of people, it's not yoga pants. So
I ask myself this, you know, are these pants going to, like, does it really matter? Does this house, this mortgage that I'm about to, does it really, am I, 10 years from now, are my kids going to say, wow, I had a better life? Or, no, none of that stuff is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what really matters to me personally is having fun.
And making some money.
we're about to take this whirlwind West Coast RV trip, which I can't wait. I usually dread vacations. You want to know this is the truth?
Well, that's sad.
I usually dread vacations because I'm out of touch.
Oh.
And, you know.
Spending quality time with me?
I'm spending quality time with you right now, princess.
Thank you. Oh. All right. We're gonna move on right there. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.